We'll leave it there. We'll leave it there. Let's go on to the next song. Come All Ye Faithful. This is a wonderful song this morning for us to worship and sing. Oh, come all ye faithful. Shake hands with one another and welcome each other this morning. Y'all, how y'all doing? Merry Christmas, man. Isn't it awesome to be here? Awesome. Hey guys, if this is your first time, we want to say thank you for visiting us. We do have a special gift for you guys. Also, we want to congratulate those that graduated. I know some of y'all graduated. Jasmine, good job. I don't know who else graduated, but congratulations. And again, yeah, we want to say thank you for visiting us. Thank you all of you guys for being here. Let's continue worshiping our Lord and Savior.
Angel, it is good to see everybody here this morning and to worship together. If you don't have your bulletin with the notes in there for the message this morning, just let one of the ushers know. If you need an envelope for your offering, your tithe, let them know and they'll get one to you as soon as possible. But it is wonderful to be gathered together, to put a smile on our face, to rejoice. Maybe not because circumstances give us something to rejoice, but because realities give us something to rejoice, the reality that we have a King in heaven who we worship this morning. We were just singing, come, let us adore him. We don't adore a Savior that was crucified on a cross and stayed there. We adore that Savior that was crucified, buried and rose again and is alive today. And so we sing to a risen Savior. We sing to that Lamb of God who gave himself for us. And because of that great sacrifice, this Christmas, what we celebrate is something real and alive for us. And so let's finish our worship time and prepare our hearts for the offering and the rest of the service by singing Lamb of God.
Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty soul and to become the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb.
Great to sing about the Lamb of God. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And Christmas is celebrating that Lamb that came to this earth. And so this morning, as we continue our worship through giving, why don't we ask God to bless this time? And I do remind you that giving is a way in which we show our love to that Lamb. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." And just as he gave, he taught us to also give. And God gave what was most precious to him, and we ought to give what's most precious to us. And in this time of offering, it's our opportunity to be able to give back to God what is his, to give God what he's blessed us with. And I hope this morning you'll do that with joy in your heart, and hopefully it'll be a blessing as you do. Let's go ahead and ask God to bless this time this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the many blessings that we have received of your hand. For Father, it is by your hand and only by your hand that we are able to have what we have. Every good gift, the Bible teaches us, cometh from above. And now this morning, as we worship you in giving, I pray that we would give with a heart of love this morning. Just as you gave your Son to come to this earth, which is what we celebrate in Christmas, Father, may we this season also give to you and our worship of you, for you are worthy of all worship and all praise. May this offering be an offering that exalts your name, an offering that is worthy of our King. Father, I pray that you would bless it. I pray that you would multiply it as it's used for the furtherance of your kingdom, as it's used, Father, to support those that are taking the gospel message all around our world. And as it's used here in our city, as we do our very best to reach this city for the cause of Jesus Christ. Bless this time of worship, we pray once again. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Amen.
Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lowly exile here until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thy coming here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O
I was going to open to Luke chapter number 2, Luke chapter number 2 this morning. We're going to continue our series, A Joyful Christmas. And we learned last week the discovering the joy that there is in giving during the Christmas season. And now this morning, we're going to look in Luke chapter 2, and we want to uncover some truths about the joy of serving in the Christmas season, or at least for this Christmas season. So Luke chapter number 2, and we're only going to be looking at three verses this morning, verse number 36, 37, and 38. So Luke chapter 2, verse 36, 37, and 38. It says like this, it says, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the truth we find in it. And this morning now, as we study this passage, as we study a little bit of the life of Anna, I pray that it would be something that would help us this morning to discover in our life the joy of serving. And Father, in this Christmas season, we want to have a joyful Christmas season, but Father, apart from you, we cannot. And so we pray and ask that as we As we learn some truths today from your word, may they be something that we could apply into our lives in a practical way, and that it would be an encouragement, Father, and a faith-building exercise in our life, and a truth that would transform us to be more like Christ in our service. Father, I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit. Help me to communicate the message that you have placed on my heart. And that, Father, it would be something that would be an encouragement to your people. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, Christmas is a time where we're really reminded of the joy that there is in serving Jesus. There's just certain times of the year where you get reminded of how wonderful Jesus is, how wonderful of a Savior he is, how wonderful of a King he is. And really, in the time of Christmas, we kind of remember that time of the position of Jesus, I should say, as our Master, as we serve him, as we serve our Savior. And Christmas really reminds us of the joy that there is in serving. In fact, one of my favorite Christmas stories is about an old shoe cobbler who dreamed one Christmas Eve that Jesus was going to come and visit him at his store the next day. In fact, the dream was so real to this cobbler that he was convinced that that was what was going to happen. And so the next morning, he got up really early and got ready and went out to his store and began to clean everything up and get everything prepared and decorated, knowing that Jesus was going to come and visit him that day. Well, the hours passed, and during the morning hours, Jesus really didn't show up. And all that happened was late in the morning there, an old man that was outside in the snow came into the store, and he was just kind of trying to get warm from the winter snow. And so the cobbler began to talk to him, see where he was from and see why he had come into the store. And as they were talking, he noticed that the old man had some shoes there, some holes in his shoes. And of course, being a cobbler, being a shoe store, the man, seeing the condition of this older man with the shoes, decided, I'm just going to go and I'm going to give him a pair of shoes. And so he went and went to the shelf and got the nicest pair of shoes that he could find. And he gave them to the man, and he said, I saw that you probably need some new shoes. It's cold outside. I want you to have these and have a Merry Christmas. And, of course, the old man thanked him and went on his way. And he began to wait again, the cobbler did, for Jesus. Well, during the early afternoon, Jesus still didn't come. And all that happened was, a little bit later, an older lady came in. And she came into the store, and they began to talk as she was looking at shoes and things. And he could tell that she was kind of looking a little bit weak. And he asked her, well, ma'am, are you doing okay? Is there anything I can help you with? And she said, well, to be honest with you, sir, I've not really eaten in the last 2 days. And I'm just coming in. I'm getting warm. And I thought if I pretended I was looking at shoes, you'd let me stay a little bit longer in your store. And of course, the old cobbler said, that's not good. And this is Christmas, and we ought to share. And so he said, if you just stay here in the front of the store for a minute. And he went back in the back of the store. He had a refrigerator with some food in there and a microwave, and he got the food out. And he began to prepare a little meal for her, and of course came back to the front of the store and gave her the meal and said, listen, I know if you haven't eaten in 2 days, this was going to be my lunch today, but you know, I think you need it more than I do. And he said, so don't worry about it. I hope you enjoy this meal and have a Merry Christmas. And of course, she thanked him and walked out. And again, he began to wait. Well, later in the afternoon, Jesus still hadn't come. And as he was there, the cobbler was kind of tidying the store. He heard the screams of a little boy outside there on the street. And of course, he ran to the window to see what was going on. And he noticed that the little boy was screaming for his mom and couldn't find her. So he walked out and he said, son, is what happened? Where's your mom? He said, I don't know. We were walking and I lost sight of her and now I can't find her. And he said, well, son, do you know where you live? He said, yeah. And he said, okay, just wait here real quick. And he ran back in the store. And he got his coat on and got a little blanket for the child who was still a little bit cold and wrapped the child in that blanket and walked him all the way to his house. And then he got back to the store, and by this time it was already late evening. The sun had already gone down, and it was about closing time, and still Jesus did not show up. Of course, he was kind of distraught. He was sad, this cobbler, and in the despair that he felt that Jesus didn't come, he kind of just looked up to heaven and he said, "Oh Lord Jesus, why didn't you come today? I thought you were going to come and visit me." And he kind of stayed quiet there in his store. And in that moment of silence, he seemed to hear a voice saying, "Oh shoe cobbler, lift up your heart. I kept my word. 3 times I knocked at your friendly door. 3 times my shadow fell across your floor. I was the man with the bruised feet. I was the woman you gave to eat. I was the boy on the homeless street." You see, Jesus had come. It was only until that moment that the cobbler realized that in serving the way he did, he was really serving Jesus. You know, as we study the story this morning, the passage in Luke chapter 2, we find that there's this woman by the name of Anna who learned this truth, the joy of serving Jesus. You know, there's great joy in serving Jesus this morning. There's great joy in serving him. And of course, the author of this book, Luke, was a doctor. And as a doctor, I'm sure he had a big heart for people. And knowing this story of Anna, the Holy Spirit moved in Luke's life to write just at least 3 verses about Anna, about the joy that she found in serving God. And there's some things that I want to uncover this morning in this passage that would help us to know about how it is that we find joy in serving God. Because we find that Anna, the Bible says, was a prophetess. She was someone that was in the temple that was teaching the word of God. She shared the truths of God's word, but she also shared who God is with those around her. She was someone that was actively in the temple every day, trying to serve in every way possible to see what God would have her do. It's so important for us to realize this morning that there is so much happiness, there's so much joy when it comes to us serving Jesus. And so this morning, I want to look at those truths that Anna found in her life that I believe we can apply in our life, and we can discover what makes serving Jesus so joyful. I want you to notice, first of all, in your notes, that serving is joyful even in the toughest of circumstances. Even in the toughest of circumstances. I want you to notice in verse 36, as Luke is writing about Anna, that he says this about her. It says, "She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 80 that's 80 and 4 years. So 84 years. I want you to notice that Anna was a person who early on in her life began to serve God. In fact, even in her youth, right as she was married, getting married, she began to serve God with a heart of love for God. She wanted to serve him in any way possible. And I want you to notice that it wasn't a service that she gave to God just because it was a certain time of year. You know, sometimes we have that tendency in our life because it's Easter, then we're going to go to church and we're going to try to do what we can. Or because it's Christmas, this is a time that people help other people and give to other people. So because it's Christmas, we're going to try to serve others. But I want you to notice that in Anna's life, it wasn't like that. Anna wasn't serving just at certain times of her life. You'll find that early on in her life, she was serving in a consistent manner. You find that she was wanting to serve from the very beginning and serve at all times. It wasn't something just sporadic in her life. It was something that she had made a habit in her life. Now, I want you to notice the circumstances in which she served. You see, she served, if you're in your notes, in the midst of tragedy. In the midst of tragedy. Bible says that she was married for 7 years before she became a widow. Now, I don't know about you, but I imagine that was a very difficult time of her life. Losing her husband after only 7 years of marriage, I'm sure she had a lot of questions. I'm sure she was wondering, "Why, God, why did this happen to me? Why was it my marriage? Why was it my husband?" The Bible really doesn't tell us what happened. It doesn't say if he got sick. It doesn't say if it was an accident. It doesn't say how sudden it was or how slow the process was. It just says that after 7 years, her husband passed away. What a difficult tragedy it is. What a difficult experience she must have had during that time of her life. I don't know if you've ever lost a loved one, and if you've ever lost a spouse, you know how difficult that is. They say there's never a good time to lose a spouse. They say if it's early on in your marriage, then you feel like you never really got to know them as close as you were able to, as you would have liked to. They say if it's in the middle of your marriage, then just at about the time when you're getting used to them and really falling deeper and deeper in love, and they get separated, it's difficult. And they say if it's late in your marriage, you've gotten so used to one another that you feel so lonely after they're gone. It's just there's never a good time to lose a spouse. But we find that in Anna's life, that's what happened. God had allowed her husband to pass away. And there's tragedy, there's difficulty in her life. And yet, during that difficult time of her life, Anna continued to serve. You see, you can still find joy in serving God even through the toughest of circumstances. It's amazing to me that the Bible says 84 years after that tragedy, she continued to serve God. Man, it really challenges us this morning. Man, is our service only connected to something like Christmas? Or is serving God something that you have decided in your life, even in tough circumstances, I'm going to serve because there's joy in serving Jesus? You find in Anna's life that she found joy even in the toughest of circumstances. It kind of reminds me, and I'm sure as a prophetess, as someone that knew the Bible, as someone that taught the Bible, she must have known what Job said. In Job chapter 23, Job said this when he was going through his difficult circumstance in life. He said, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him." I'm sure she felt the same way. Job said, "When I was going through the difficult time and I lost my children and I lost everything I had and I lost my health," he said, "I looked for God and it seemed like I couldn't find him. I searched for him to the left and to the right and he was nowhere to be found." But notice what Job says in verse 10. He says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." You know, something that Job learned in times of difficulty is to just trust God and keep serving him. Something that Anna learned in the tragedy that hit her life was that I can still find joy in serving God even through the toughest of circumstances. You know, many times in our lives, we miss the joy of serving because our focus is on the circumstances instead of the work. One of the secrets of finding joy in serving Jesus through tough circumstances is what you're focused on. If you're focused on your circumstances, if you're focused on what's happening to you and what's happening around you, you're not going to find a lot of joy. That's why getting to December in the year of 2019, if you've been in this church and if you've been serving God, sometimes getting in this last month is hard to do. Some of us are already ready. I can't wait for the Christmas break. I'm ready to have a break and just relax. And sometimes we can take that break even into our spiritual life, in our service for Christ. We want to just take a break from everything. But I'm so thankful there are people like Anna that say, you know, even in tough times, I can still serve. And I'm not going to focus on everything that's happening around me and everything that's happening to me. I'm going to focus on the one that I'm serving, and that's Jesus. We find that Anna was one that found joy in serving through difficult circumstances. She served in the midst of tragedy, but can I say she served God in the place that God had put her? She served God in the place God had put her. You'll notice there in verse number 36 that it says that Anna was from Asher, the tribe of Asher. Now, Asher was the northernmost tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel, where the tribe of Israel had settled down. It was about 50 miles north of Jerusalem. Now, back then, they didn't have, a nice car that could take them just in an hour's drive from Asher to Jerusalem. 50 miles was a long way. If you're going walking, if you're going by horse or donkey, which is what the modes of transportation were back then, that was a long way. It wasn't going to be like, I'm going to go down for a weekend and then go right back home. No, no. The Bible says she had moved from that place. She had moved from the place she had grown up, from the people that she knew, from the culture that she knew, from the surroundings that she knew. God in his providential plan moved her from there down to Jerusalem near the temple. And I find that in that move, it's fascinating to me that during that time of her life, Anna still decided, I'm going to serve. And found joy in serving. You know, even in the tough circumstance of moving away, you can find joy in serving. Some in our congregation have had that experience. Some of you have had to move from where you grew up and you were newer to the valley. You didn't grow up in the valley. Maybe you got here after you got married or when you were older in your life. And you know the kind of loneliness and the difficulty that you kind of go through during that time. You don't really know a whole lot of people, and the culture is a little bit different, and the way things, where things are, and the way things are done by people, it's just very different. And sometimes we use that as a crutch to kind of say, well, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to go out. I'm not going to meet anybody. I'm not going to try to do anything because I'm new to this town, and there's just really nothing I can do. But you know, in God's plan of moving her, one thing that remained in Anna's life was the fact that she was going to find joy in serving. And when God put her in that temple, which was probably very different from the synagogue she grew up in, she decided, I'm still going to serve here. You know, whether the circumstance is losing a loved one, whether the circumstance is a new environment, a new surrounding, you can still find joy in serving. I like what 1 Chronicles 28 says. It says, and thou, Solomon, my son, and this is God talking to King Solomon. He says, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. If thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. One thing that Solomon was reminded of as he became king of Israel was this truth. Just serve him with all of your heart. Solomon, just serve him. I know everything's changing. I know now you're getting a new position. I know there's a new kingdom here. But Solomon, don't forget, serve God. Man, if you know the story of Solomon, you know that later in his life, he forgot this truth. He stopped living this truth for whatever reason. The Bible says that a lot of things started coming into his life and into his heart and took the place of God in his heart. And he lost that fervor to serve God. He lost that fervor to live for God. And if you're not careful, you and I can lose that fervor. If we don't find the joy of serving Jesus, if we don't find the secret of serving God in the midst of difficult circumstances in our lives. There's a Russian countess who had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And this Russian countess was someone that was very open about her testimony. Of course, the Tsar, when he found out that she had accepted Jesus as her Savior, was displeased with her and threw her in the prison. And after 24 hours with the lowest level of Russian society in the most miserable conditions imaginable, he ordered her to be brought into his presence. And thinking he had probably taught her a lesson and kind of smiling, with a kind of wryl smile, he said, well, are you ready now to renounce your silly faith and come back to the pleasures of the court? To his surprise, this countess smiled serenely and said, I have known more real joy and more real happiness in one day in prison with Jesus than I have known in a lifetime in the courts of the Tsar. You know, I don't know what circumstances you might be facing this morning. I don't know what it might be that is trying to stop you from serving God. But can I share this with you? Can I share with you that if you just serve God, if you just serve Jesus with your life, you'll find the joy that you get in that service will help you through the difficult circumstances. It'll help you get through those circumstances. It'll help you to overcome circumstances in your life. That's what serving does. That was one thing that Anna found in her life, the joy of serving, even in difficult circumstances. But I want you to notice also that serving is joyful when we remain faithful to it. The Bible says she was a widow for 84 years and departed not. Did you notice that? It says, and she was a widow, verse 37, of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. You know, serving is joyful when we remain faithful to it. 84 years after that tragedy, and she was still serving. You see, the joy of serving God is not simply something that lasts for just a short while. It's something that is long-lasting in our life. And you'll notice that she was faithful because she served without quitting. She served without quitting. Now, by the way, I don't believe that she started serving just after her husband passed away. I believe in those 7 years, she also served with her husband. So I would imagine at least 91 years of her life, she had been serving God. I would imagine that in 91 years of being in the temple, there was a lot of reasons that she could have quit. The Bible says and gives us examples of priests that messed up in their priesthood. All throughout the Old Testament, you'll find that. You'll find that there were people that were very fake about their faith. In fact, in the day in which Anna lived is the day in which the Pharisees ruled. The Pharisees were looked at as the religious leaders of that time. I'm sure she saw a lot of fakeness, a lot of hypocrisy in those leaders many times in her life. In those 91 years of serving God, I'm sure she saw a lot of that. And yet she did not quit. And yet she didn't say, well, I'm tired of serving. I'm not going to serve God anymore. Look at what they're doing. You'll notice that she never quit. Though there maybe have been reasons to quit, she never quit. You know, the secret to uncover about service is this, that joy comes as a result of being faithful to it. Just be faithful in serving God. You'll find joy comes with that, of just being faithful. Joshua told the people as they were going into the promised land, he said, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave. Then there that word, cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart. That word cleave is to be faithful, to not let go, to not quit. It's the same word that's used in Genesis when it says, and a man shall leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. Be faithful, be together, stick together through the tough times and the good times. God says, you know, if you're going to find joy in serving, you'll find it when you just remain faithful to it. One of the things that we uncover in Anna's life is that she was faithful in that service. 91 years and still going strong. Man, I don't know about you, but I hope that's kind of like when I get to the end part of my life, and I don't know if I'll even sniff 90 years. But if I get to be 90 years old, I hope someone will say, man, 90 years and he's still going. He's still in church. He's still reading his Bible. He's still praying. Man, I might not be behind this pulpit anymore, but I hope I'm still serving. I imagine that Anna probably at this point in her life wasn't doing a lot of teaching in the classes, but she was still there. She was still serving. I want you to notice that she served in all that she could serve. Not only did she not quit, but she served in all that she could serve. It says she was serving and departed not, and she served, the Bible says, in fastings and in prayers. You know, for most of us that are younger, sometimes we look at fasting and prayer as the last thing we can do, as a thing that we do when we can't really do anything else. But you know, I'm so thankful for those in our church that fast and pray. Do you know that God's blessing comes as a result of fasting and prayer? In fact, Jesus told his disciples, there are things that will never happen without fasting or prayer. Sometimes we get caught up in saying, it's because it's our programs, the great music programs that we have and the great children's programs that we have and the great programs of our church. That's what makes people come. But can I say that's not really what makes people come? It's those that are fasting and praying. Those that are asking God, God, would you do something in our midst? Anna was someone that was in the temple praying, God, would you bring revival to our people? God, would you do something among us? Man, there's joy in serving God when you're just faithful. When you just don't quit, when you do all that you can do. I know we kind of think, well, it's just fasting and serving. No, it's fasting and serving. It's fasting and praying. And those are big things. And Anna was doing them. Can I say you're going to find joy? You're going to find joy in serving God when you just remain faithful at it. Then I want you to notice lastly about Anna's life. The last truth that we can uncover, and that is this: serving is joyful when Jesus is your source. You look in verse number 38, and the context is that Mary and Joseph had brought Jesus to the temple, and there was an elderly godly man by the name of Simeon who had come and seen that it was Jesus and proclaiming who he was there. The Bible says that in that instant, as Simeon was doing that, Anna saw and went over to where he was at. And it says, and likewise, she gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Anna was joyful this first Christmas because all her service focused on one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. She had been in that temple over 90 years. Serving and doing all she could, remaining faithful, going there in the tough times and during the tough times. And finally, she sees him. She sees the one that had been her focus for over 90 years. That's why she gave thanks. That's why she was glorifying him. That's why she was worshiping him. It was because there he was, the focus of her service, there incarnate. You see, Jesus was the source of her service. He was all that she did everything for. It was the motivation behind 90 years of service. It was Jesus. Can I say that Jesus as her source was the source, first of all, of her message. Of her message. The Bible says that she spake of him. That's what she talked about. As soon as she saw baby Jesus there in the temple, she said, this is him. This is God incarnate. This is the focus of my message. Speaking of him. Man, I don't know what we're going to talk about this Christmas. When you get together with your family, I don't know what you're going to talk about. I don't know what games you're going to play, and I don't know what memories you're going to create. But can I encourage you? Those times when you get together with your family at Christmas, talk about him. Talk about him. He ought to be the source of your message this Christmas. You see, part of finding joy in serving, part of serving Jesus is sharing that message. And he has to be that message for you and for me. We find that Anna made Jesus the source of her message. It's amazing when you see Christmas not as just a time for me, but a time for him. You'll find how your message changes. When Jesus begins to do something in your life, it changes all that you talk about. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus had healed those that were mute, those that could not speak, and those that could not hear. And after he did that, notice what Mark chapter 7, verse 36 says. It says, and he charged them that they should tell no man. Jesus said, okay, I've healed you. Now you can hear me. Now I don't want you to tell anybody what I've done. But the more that he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. They couldn't just keep it to themselves. And by the way, I believe Jesus knew that. It's amazing. He was saying, stay quiet. And the more he told them to stay quiet, the more they wanted to tell others. And then we get to the New Testament era, the church age, and Jesus left us a commandment, go and tell. And so many times we stay quiet. What happens? We lose that joy. The joy of serving and giving that message. Anna made Jesus the source of her message, but then she made Jesus the source of her salvation. I love what she says there at the end of verse 38. She says, she spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. See, Anna told others of who Jesus is, but she also told them of what he would do for them. The message of Christmas is that Jesus came, but not just to dwell among us, not just to talk with us, but the Bible says that he came to redeem us. In fact, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says, and he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Can I ask you this morning? This Christmas, do you know Jesus as that one who has redeemed your life? Do you know him as the Redeemer, as the Savior? Or do you just know Jesus as, oh, he's the guy in the Bible. He's that teacher of the Bible. He's that one that we celebrate, some of us, in Christmas. How do you know Jesus this morning? Do you know him as your personal Savior? You know, in John chapter 3 and verse 36, it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. See, one of the things that Anna shared in her message was that Jesus is the Savior. That he is the only one that brings redemption and forgiveness and pardon into the life of a sinner. It's not our good works. It's not by going to church. It's not by praying to saints. It's only by believing on Jesus. In fact, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This morning, have you done that? You see, the joy of serving starts with knowing him as your Savior. I wonder this morning, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Is he someone that you can look to as your Redeemer? We find that in Anna's life, she found in him as the Redeemer. You know, this morning there's great joy in serving God. It is experienced when circumstances are great and when they're not great. That joy is experienced when we remain faithful to him over and over and over again through the years. It is experienced when Jesus is our source. There's just joy in serving God. I'm really not sure what you have planned in the next 2 weeks to celebrate Christmas. But I'd like to encourage you to serve God as part of your celebration. I'm telling you, you won't find joy this Christmas without serving him. So I want to encourage you, serve. Serve by getting involved in some project, whether here at church or in your community. Would you serve him this Christmas by taking time to pray? Some might say, oh, well, that's what Anna was doing. She was just praying. No, but she was praying. And in that prayer, she was serving God. And she found joy in that. Would you take time this Christmas to say, you know what? That's how I can serve. I can serve by praying this Christmas, praying that God will do something in our church, praying that God will use me in some way, praying that God would save some of my family members that have not trusted Christ as their Savior yet. Man, I don't know how you're going to celebrate. But I want to encourage you, celebrate by focusing on Jesus this Christmas. Focus on serving Him and finding joy in that service to Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the life of Anna. What a wonderful life that challenges us in this area of service. And truly, there's a lot of joy, Father, in serving you. Oh, Father, I pray that we would experience that joy, even in the difficulties of life. That we would experience that joy because you're the focus and the source of our joy. I pray that this Christmas we wouldn't allow the festivities of other things take the place of our service to you. Oh, I pray that this Christmas we would find joy in you. As a piano plays just one stanza, perhaps you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor, you know, I'd like to experience that joy this Christmas. I know Christmas is a time of a lot of different things, but would you just pray for me, Pastor? I just want to experience that joy. I don't want to quit in serving God even this Christmas. Would you just pray that I'll stay faithful to it as Anna did, that I'll stay faithful and serve even in tough circumstances, and pray that I keep my focus on Jesus as I serve. Is there anyone like that would say, just pray for me? Would you raise your hand? Anyone like that? God bless you. I see those hands. God bless you. I see those hands. Perhaps this morning you're here and you're saying, you know, Pastor, I can't think of a time where I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I can't think of a time where I've put my faith alone in Jesus Christ. But this morning, I'd like to know Him as my Savior. Would you just pray for me? Is there anyone like that that would raise their hand? Anyone at all? Amen. Father, this morning, we thank you. We thank you for your love and your care for us. And thank you, Father, that you allow us to experience the joy that we have as we serve you. Father, I pray that this Christmas, we would experience a joyful Christmas as a result of serving you. Father, I pray that you'd fill us with your Spirit. I pray that this Christmas would be a time in which we create not only memories of what we have received and what was given and what we give to others, but create memories of how we served others and found the true joy of Christmas in serving. Be with us, I pray, as we do our very best to practice what your word teaches. And I ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Before Brother John comes up to give the announcements, I do just want to say, this Wednesday, teens, we're going to be going to the Lamplighter RV Park, and we're going to be singing Christmas carols for them that are there, and it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time, but we need you to be here at 6:30 on Wednesday. That's about 30 minutes earlier than usual. Of course,